Animal Farm by George Orwell, an allegorical political satire set on the manor farm representing Russia during and after the Communist Revolution. The principal characters are Old Major, i.e. Karl Marx, an ancient and venerated boor; Snowball, i.e. Trotsky, a young, porcine intellectual; Napoleon, i.e. Stalin, an unscrupulous, aggressively fierce young pig; Boxer, i.e. the Russian worker, a huge, hard-working male horse; Molly, the Russian bourgeois capitalist, a frivolous mare; Moses, i.e. organized religion, a tame raven; Squealer, i.e. Russia's propaganda machine, a young pig and fluent orator; and various dogs, i.e. Stalin's secret police, and men, capitalist enemies, and sheep, hens, and other animals, those who follow; and finally, Farmer Jones, i.e. Tsar Nicholas, Frederick, i.e. Germany, and Pilkington, i.e. England. George Orwell, a dedicated British socialist, wrote this classic 1945 fable in embittered protest against what he saw as the perversion of socialism by post-revolutionary communism in the USSR. Rather than highlighting factual incidents from the grim cauldron of horrors that had boiled to a climax under the Stalinist regime, Orwell chose to focus an allegorical mirror on the brutal dynamics that blazed beneath the action. And within this mirror, the pigs and sheep and horses of Animal Farm move as vivid and grisly reflections of the historical figures and factions they represent. But Orwell's book mirrors more than the evils of Soviet communism. Read closely, it is also an impassioned indictment of capitalism. And read more closely still, Animal Farm reflects the haunted and ironic image of the dark gulf which the author sees opening, perhaps inevitably, between the two eternal poles of idealism and expediency, between all noble ends and their self-betraying necessary means. This little fairy story, as Orwell calls it, is in the end an angry, eloquent, and almost despairing protest against the tragic potential for tyranny in all social institutions, including even language itself, over those very ideals and hopes for human transcendence that they are supposed to nurture and to serve. One day on the manor farm, the old major, a venerable 11-year-old boar known as Old Major, gathered the animals together. "Now, comrades," he said, "what is the nature of this life of ours? Let us face it. Our lives are miserable, laborious, and short." He went on to detail Farmer Jones' cruel exploitation as he butchered the animals and plundered the products of their labor. "Is it not crystal clear, then, comrades," concluded Old Major, "that all the evils of this life spring from the tyranny of human beings? Only get rid of man, and the produce of our labor would be our own. All men are enemies, all animals are friends." At this passionate invocation of a world ruled by those whose lives and labor made it fruitful, the animals themselves, everyone broke into a rousing anthem until the disturbance was silenced for the time being by a round of shot fired above them by Farmer Jones. 3 days later, Old Major died, and the other pigs, generally recognized as the cleverest of the animals on the farm, began to expound his teachings on animalism. Napoleon and Snowball, preeminent among the younger pigs, led the discussions, which centered on open rebellion. At first, the other animals objected. Some were swayed by thoughts of food or loyalty. Others, like Molly, the cart horse, who loved the ribbons that Farmer Jones tied in her hair, actually enjoyed the frills that man provided. The pigs were angered by the apathy that greeted their call to battle. They were equally exasperated by the raven Moses, who squawked of forbearance and of a better life in heaven after death. Napoleon had to argue very hard to persuade the animals There was no such place. Finally, however, he convinced the group to accept animalism. Meanwhile, Farmer Jones, fallen on evil days, began to neglect the animals. One day, he failed to feed them altogether, and they broke into the stalls to get at the food. When Jones and his farmhands burst into the barn, whips ready, the enraged animals attacked the men and drove them completely off the farm. The animals were left victorious and alone. In their initial elation, the animals burned all the farm implements, along with any other items that smacked of man, including Molly's ribbons. Then they warily entered the farmhouse where, to their utter disgust, they found Molly trying on a fine ribbon. Seeing how weak and capricious even an animal could be, they agreed that, in their new order, no animal would inhabit the house, put on clothes, or in any other way imitate humans. As the first order of business, Snowball removed the Manor Farm sign from the front gate and replaced it with a sign reading Animal Farm. Then, in great white letters on the barn wall, the pigs painted the 7 commandments of animalism. 1. Whatever goes on 2 legs is an enemy. 2. Whatever goes on 4 legs or has wings is a friend. 3. No animal shall wear clothes. 4. No animal shall sleep in a bed. 5. No animal shall drink alcohol. 6. No animal shall kill another animal. 7. All animals are equal. Just then, the unmilked cows set up a loud lowing of complaint. The pigs, whose forehooves made good milkers, soon filled many buckets from the cows' swollen udders, but they left the apportionment of the milk until later, after more important work in the fields. When the animals came back in the evening, it was noticed that the milk had disappeared. Later, when the pigs also appropriated the wind-fallen apples, they explained that day and night we are watching over your welfare. It is for your sake that we drink that milk and eat those apples. Napoleon and Snowball now organized committees to put the others to work, though as managers they themselves participated in none of the actual labor. But the animals were given all the hay they could eat, and gradually they accepted the pigs' dominance. Meanwhile, Farmer Jones had spread the news of the uprising to his neighbors, Pilkington and Frederick. Frightened by the thought that their own animals might revolt, they agreed to form a contingent of men to launch a counterattack on Jones' farm. A fierce battle ensued. The animals, led by Snowball, once again drove the humans from the farm. Snowball was wounded in the engagement, and several animals were killed, but the survivors were elated by their successful defense. Afterward, Molly, discouraged by the dearth of ribbons in her life, left the farm, never to return. Now Snowball and Napoleon began to compete for leadership. Their struggle culminated at a meeting where the animals were to vote on Snowball's plan for a windmill he had designed to supply electricity to the farm, thus easing the animals' burden. Napoleon appeared at the meeting with a contingent of sheep, which he had trained to interrupt Snowball's speech, repeatedly bleating out the Animal Farm slogan, 4 legs good, 2 legs bad, until no animal could remember what was being said. Then, just before the vote was called, Napoleon summoned a pack of ferocious dogs who chased Snowball from the farm. After this display, the animals dared not question Napoleon's will, nor did they fail to note that the dogs he always kept around wagged their tails to him, as other dogs did to Mr. Jones. Even after Napoleon's brainwashing sessions, when some of the animals came forward fervently confessing their allegiances to Snowball, they were immediately torn apart by Napoleon's dogs, who then set them to building the windmill which he had once opposed. But it was the workhorse Boxer, in his simple-minded faithfulness, who truly inspired the animals. When Boxer promised that I will work harder, and agreed that Napoleon is always right. Any objections to the project were silenced. The building of the windmill began. The pigs, as usual, did no actual work. While they supervised, Boxer wore himself out, hauling huge stones from the quarry. Napoleon then determined that certain materials would be needed to finish the mill and decreed that he must bend the two-legs-bad rule, the first commandment of animalism, and deal with a man who could make their purchases. The animals were also placed on rations in order that their surplus food could be sold to purchase the needed materials. When the hens were told that they had to give up their eggs, they put up a brief and futile resistance in which 9 hens were killed. The shocked animals consulted the list of commandments. They concluded that they must have remembered the 6th incorrectly, for it now read, "No animal shall kill another animal without cause." Soon, Comrade Napoleon had persuaded Pilkington and Frederick to buy wood from Animal Farm. Napoleon had forced Frederick to raise his price by 12 pounds, but Frederick, in turn, swindled Napoleon by paying for the wood with false notes. Enraged and humiliated, Napoleon now prepared for a follow-up attack from Frederick. It came the next morning. Frederick's men managed to destroy the newly finished windmill, but once again were finally driven off by the angry animals. The pigs watched the battle from the safety of the farmhouse and later got uproariously drunk on Farmer Jones' whiskey. Before long, Napoleon had moved into Farmer Jones' house, sleeping in his bed and soon drinking all his liquor. And when the animals again went to look at the 7 commandments, they found written, "No animal shall sleep in a bed without sheets, and no animal shall drink alcohol to excess." Through the never-ending exhortations of Squealer, the animals began to reconstruct the windmill and to accept even smaller rations. Squealer even convinced them almost that they had never been happier or better fed, and their readjustment hardships were forgotten under endless processions and marches, celebrating their victory over Frederick and honoring their benefactor and greatest hero of all, Napoleon. As the windmill neared completion, old Boxer was approaching his retirement. One day, as he hauled a great load of stone, the faithful old workhorse collapsed, and Napoleon arranged for a cart to take him to the hospital. But when the already uneasy animals gathered to wave goodbye to their friend, they were told what was written on the hospital van's side, "Alfred Simmons, horse slaughterer and glue boiler." As they called out to warn Boxer, he tried to escape, but he was too feeble to kick his way out. The next day, Squealer assured everyone that he himself had been there at the hospital when Boxer died. The doctor, he said, had just bought the cart from the horse slaughterer. Relieved and chastened, the animals returned to their duties. Finally, the windmill was rebuilt, but rather than supplying power to the farm, it was used to grind corn, which was then sold for a profit. The suffering animals worked by now out of habit, still under the dim illusion that it was they who ran the farm. None of the old dreams had been abandoned. Then one day their illusions were shattered. Napoleon and his charges appeared in the yard, dressed in Joan's clothes, and striding on 2 legs instead of 4. In his hoof, Napoleon clasped a whip, while the sheep bleated, "4 legs good, 2 legs better." Indeed, the last commandment of animalism had been altered to read, "All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others." Later that day, Joan's neighbors arrived in their carts to be entertained. The animals gathered around while Pilkington toasted Napoleon for his successful management tactics, tidy profits, and his discipline of the animals. "If you have your lower animals to contend with, pronounced the human farmer, emptying his mug. We have our lower classes. In pride, Napoleon announced that the name of Animal Farm would revert to Manor Farm, and in the end, the animals could not distinguish which of the guests were men and which were pigs.